It's a brand new day.
Hey there, and welcome back to Your Pre-Shift. Man, I'm so glad that you're here today. This little space is about showing up with intention, with heart, and with a little bit more humanity for the people who count on us every day. So whether you're leading a team, raising a family, or just trying to get through your shift without losing your cool, this podcast is for you. And today, we're talking about inspiring trust. And the first conversation I want to have with you is why we're talking about inspiring trust, not building it, earning it, or creating it. Because truly, those are fine words when talking about trust, but they imply construction, assembly, effort that flows from logic. Inspiration is different. Inspiration is felt. And here's what I want you to know about inspiration and its importance to you as a frontline leader. Inspiration has big interpersonal benefits. Most importantly, it creates a drive for sharing and connection. Think about what you do when you're inspired by something. You don't just keep it to yourself. You share it. You text a friend. You bring it up to friends. I mean, shoot, sometimes we even bring it up to strangers. You say, you have got to see this. And why? Because inspired people don't want to hoard something good. They want to invite others into the experience of it as well. And that isn't just motivational fluff. We're talking about real, researched human behavior. When people are inspired, something lights up in them. They feel energized, more enthusiastic, more connected to what matters, and more eager to share what they're experiencing. And that sharing creates a ripple effect. It's not just about passing an idea along, it's about inviting others into something meaningful. Inspired people naturally connect with others who share their values. They often become more generous as people, more willing to share insights, extend support, create space for others to grow. That's how culture starts to shift, not from the top down, but from the inside out, one inspired person at a time. So if you want to nerd out, I've attached some of the research links in the show notes, but this is why everyday inspiration is so critical to the success of the frontline leader. It's how you multiply your influence across time and space. It's how you're there when you're not there. In the last episode, we introduced the Fantastic Four of frontline leadership. And I would just like to thank the people that have made fun of me for using the Fantastic Four moniker. I want you to know that I hear you. I don't disagree, but it is too late to change it. So we are pushing forward with the Fantastic Four of frontline leadership. And these are the four human experiences that great leaders inspire in others: trust, agency, hope, and curiosity. When people feel trusted and hopeful, empowered, and invited to ask questions, that's when the environment changes. That's when they change. So today, we're starting with the first and the most foundational: trust. Because trust is what makes the rest possible. So what is trust? How do we define it? Charles Feltman wrote a great book called The Thin Book of Trust, and he defines trust like this: trust is choosing to risk making something you value vulnerable to another person's actions. I'll say it again. Trust is choosing to risk making something you value vulnerable to another person's actions. Think about that. That is powerful. It means that trust isn't a given. It is a choice that you make. It is something that you offer. It's a risk. It's a gift. It's a relationship. So what are you risking exactly? Well, it could be things like your ego, your safety, your reputation, rejection, your time, decision-making power, access to relationships, information, the everyday experiences that build the fabric of relationship. So if trust is risking what is valuable to you, what is distrust? Well, distrust is what is valuable to me is not safe with you. It's the belief that if I don't manage every detail, something will go wrong. That if I don't hold the power tightly, someone will mess up. But here is the truth. When we give trust, we create ownership. When we make people earn it, we create compliance. And think about the implications of that for your job as a leader, for your business, for your family. Ownership requires leadership. Compliance requires management. Trust activates people. Distrust manages them. Only one of those leads to transformation. So how do you inspire trust? You give it. Giving trust is an act of belief as opposed to an act of suspicion. It says, I see something in you. I believe in your intent. You don't have to earn my faith. You already have it. And when someone receives that kind of trust and they meet it with respect, it hits deep. It sparks ownership. It kindles a fire of relationship. They don't want to let you down, not because they're afraid of getting in trouble, but because they respect the belief that you have placed in them. That's how you build a team that's self-accountable, not just compliant. And what does giving trust do for you as the leader? Well, giving trust creates space. You stop micromanaging. You stop carrying everything yourself. You coach more, control less. You start seeing how capable your people really are. And that stretch that you feel, that discomfort of letting go a little, that's your growth. Giving trust doesn't just develop your team, it develops you. Now, let's be real. Sometimes people are going to let us down. And here's the line that's important to hold. Giving trust does not separate people from the consequences of their behavior. If someone loses trust, it means that they had it. You gave it. You did your part. The leader's job is to give trust. The team member's job is to meet that trust with respect, to keep it, and to grow it. So when someone breaks it, that doesn't mean that we retreat into suspicion. It means that we lead with clarity, with boundaries, with accountability, and importantly, with the belief that people can learn, repair, and grow. There are three big places where I see frontline leaders unintentionally lead from distrust. The first is decision making. We make people check with us for everything. Can I comp this meal? Can I adjust this schedule? And the message becomes, I don't trust your judgment. The second place is information. We don't share the why. We protect people from information, work, ideas that we don't think that they can handle. We hold back context. We protect information instead of equipping people with it. And that creates confusion and distance. And the third place is with time and flexibility. We assume that people are trying to get out of work rather than seeing their lives as whole. So we gatekeep time off or flexibility. And that sends a message of distrust that can run deep. And sometimes the opposite. We make them earn the right to work more, even when they ask for it and when we need it. And so these habits, they don't seem like a big deal. They seem like transactional norms, but over time, they erode culture and they crush initiative. Let's change gears just briefly. So, we've talked about how we inspire trust by giving it. Another way we inspire trust is by showing it, showing that we are trustworthy. Am I someone people experience as trustworthy? Do I do what I'll say I'll do? Do I protect people's dignity? Do I share responsibility or do I hoard it? This isn't about guilt. It's about growth. If you want people to trust you, lead in a way that shows them you're worth trusting. Here are two simple, but not easy, challenges for you to carry with you this week. Challenge number one. I want you to pick a person you lead and give them more trust than you have before. Let them own something that really because of their job they should, but you just haven't let them. Don't wait for them to earn it. Give it to them. Give them the trust to do their role to the fullest. And see what happens. My guess is you won't be disappointed. Challenge two. Now, I want you to think of someone that you interact with regularly. Maybe it's a coworker, a boss, a teammate, someone on your crew. And I want you to think of a relationship where trust has been strained or compromised. This is not someone unsafe or harmful, but someone where if trust were restored, both of you would benefit day to day. Now, what is one small risk you could take to extend trust again? It might be letting them take the lead on something that you've been holding on to tightly. It might be asking for their input on a decision that you usually make alone. It could be as small as just stopping in as your first interaction of the day and saying hello. Small risks, big signals. See what you can shift. Thanks for listening to Your Pre-Shift. It became clear to me recording this episode that we're going to have a lot more episodes about trust. There's just so many different aspects to talk about. But if today's episode gave you something to think about, something to try, or something to feel a little proud of, would you please share it with another leader that you know? And if you've got a minute, please leave a quick review and hit that follow button so that you don't miss what's next. So, in the next episode, we're going to dive into the second of the Fantastic Four, agency. What it really means to lead in a way that inspires in people a sense of ownership, voice, and power. Because people don't just want to be told what to do. They want to matter. Until then, keep showing up human and leading with heart. You are making a difference, one shift at a time. See ya. Oh, and one quick thing before we go. By day, I am the Chief People Officer for Thrive Restaurant Group. But this podcast? This is all me. The thoughts, opinions, and occasional bad jokes that you hear on Your Pre-Shift are mine alone and do not necessarily reflect those of my employer. So, if I say something brilliant, feel free to assume that I learned it at work. If I say something questionable, well, let's just call that off-the-clock creativity.